invite you to read with me from 2 Timothy 2. We'd like to begin there with verse 1, where Paul says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." It may come as a surprise to some of us tonight that the Lord has an army and that he has waged a war. There are some people who don't like the imagery of fighting and warfare, but it is in our New Testaments. This war is against Satan and all of those who may align themselves with him. Paul spoke of these evil forces as principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And he further said that though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down of strongholds. The Christian armor, as we may know, does not consist of spears and swords, for as Isaiah described in the second chapter, those have been beaten into plowshares and pruning hooks. In the kingdom of God, nation does not lift up sword against nation, for neither shall they learn war anymore. It is just as that old time spiritual said, "Ain't gonna study war no more, no more. Ain't gonna study war no more." When Pilate made inquiry of Jesus, the Lord there in John 18 and 36 said that "My kingdom is not of this world, and if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." I cannot imagine the Lord forbidding saints to take up arms in his defense and yet permit them to join the armed forces to fight in a war against the enemies of the state. If the Lord told Peter to put away his sword, he certainly would not allow saints to take them up. You see, tonight, carnal warfare is in direct opposition to all of the teachings of Christ. Just as I heard one of our older preachers say long ago, a husband cannot kill his wife because he's commanded to love his wife. A man cannot kill his neighbor because he is commanded to love his neighbor. And a Christian cannot kill his brother because he is commanded to love his brother. And a Christian cannot kill his enemy because he is commanded to love his enemies. Because of the restriction of time here tonight, I can only talk about one of the four points that I have in my lesson. And so I want to select the one that I feel is the most timely for us here today in the place that we are in the kingdom of God. The point that I'd like to make tonight is that a Christian soldier does his very best in lifting the morale of the troops that are around him. There is little more that is dangerous to an army, I believe, than to be swept away by a contagion of fear, defeat, and desperation. And I believe that it is a leader and a commander's task to ensure that troop morale remains as high as is possible. And I believe tonight that every one of us, as the saints of God, have a duty and a responsibility to ensure that troop morale remains as high as it possibly can. If there is no danger to low morale, and if we could never be defeated by discouragement, and if there was no threat in waning emotions, the Apostle Paul would not have said, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Paul would not have said, "Do not grow weary in doing good," or "Consider Christ who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls," or "How that we are to abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord." When others feel that we need to retreat, it is our responsibility to stand up and say, "Charge." When others are saying, "Fall back," it is then that we need to remind everyone to move forward. When there is a break in the line, it is then that someone needs to step up and stand in the gap and bridge what has been broken. We cannot deny the difficulties involved in living the Christian life. And if there were no difficulties, Paul would not have said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." There are times when things are very pressing and difficult. Maybe it requires the loss of reputation. Perhaps we are excluded from certain companies. Maybe we are spoken against. At times, the tides of the battle swell against us. We hear reports of individuals that defect from the faith. We get word of congregations that close their doors. We see evidences of churches changing their spiritual policies, of families that disintegrate, of church members that complain, of brethren that divide. And then, of course, there are the very real problems that weigh our spirits down even more. Health difficulties due to sicknesses and accidents, financial hardships because of the loss of jobs and income, emotional devastation because of the spouse's marital infidelity, all that burden the heart. Paul says, Christian soldiers, you have the responsibility of lifting troop morale, of comforting the faint-hearted. The hurting needs support, our care, concern, and comfort. Yes, brethren, there is a time to rebuke, but there also is a time to relieve. There is a time to reprove, but there also is a time to receive. There is a time to correct, but there also is a time to comfort. And as good soldiers, we have that responsibility. Some of you may know that my youngest brother has been diagnosed with terminal cancer. And in the month of December, I was able to make a trip to Oklahoma and speak to him. He had been out of duty for a number of years, had really given no thought about the Christian life. And as I talked to him, I told him that he could basically have one of three positions in his mind. He could deny his disease, refuse to think about it. He could be bitter about his circumstances, or else he could get his life right and look forward to the immortality that is only in Jesus Christ. The older I become, the more that I see that we are simply trying to get through this life, to do what we can. We need to be encouraging as much as we possibly can, lifting up the hands of those that are about us. Be an example of the believers. Provoke one another to love and good works. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep, and follow after faith, righteousness, and charity with them that call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart.